Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is Judaism from Within. We're going to talk about burying the dead, how we treat a dead body, and obviously this has implications on the respect we have for a human being, because the way you respect a human being when they're dead is also going to be very impactful to how you treat the human while they're alive. We're going to really discuss two areas. One, an area of responsibility, and the other, an area of context, to break out what I'm talking about. The area of responsibility is, where does the responsibility lie to bury the dead? Rav Hirsch sees this playing out in three areas. One, a responsibility to the person who's passed. Two, a responsibility to the earth from where we came. And three, a responsibility to those who are still around. We're going to develop each one of these, but beforehand, like all of Rav Hirsch's symbolic explanations, especially in ones in the area of chukim, where the meaning and the idea is harder to come by, it's not intuitive. And just to perhaps focus in why it's not intuitive, when it comes to burying a dead body, it's not obvious that that is the thing you should do. Once again, it's not a mishpat, it's not intuitive by I am a human being, I would want to be put into the ground when I die. You actually know people from a psychological standpoint find that unbelievably terrifying, to be buried. So the fact that we're doing this is a bit strange, but beforehand we could also look at other cultures and perhaps how it's more intuitive to perhaps burn the body. Think about it, it becomes smoke. We have that idea when it comes to karbanos. To become smoke is the language of the Torah in reference from the transition from an animal to God. So you can envision a spiritual reason why that would make sense. But even without getting graphic, there are the cultures that eat the dead. And you might find this perhaps a little bit ick, but if you think about it on a spiritualistic level, you imbibe the spirit of the other. You can envision that's quite inspiring, the continuation of your ancestry, in etc., etc. So let's perhaps begin this conversation with the context. The context in which this commandment about burying the dead and respect for a human corpse comes about is in the context of a criminal. A criminal should not be left hanging after he's been put to death by the Beis Din. And the oral law learns from this the importance of burying the body of a dead or deceased on the same day. And Rav Hirsch always at pains to point out the context is vital to an appreciation of the law. To give some examples, when we talk about what we do with a criminal and the respect you have to have for a criminal, when you be a male bondsman, when you put him into servitude for stealing, and how you have to respect and take care of him, when a woman or a girl has been sold because of poverty. Now, without getting into the intricacies and the bizarreness, perhaps, of that, which is a conversation in and of itself, but the point Rav Hirsch focuses on is that when it comes to the poor and the criminal, the two areas that we disregard the most, in that context, the Torah takes an emphasis on telling us that we must take care of them. We owe them their humanity, we owe them respect, even though they are at the lowest end of a sociological hierarchy. And that's so important because the Torah gives us almost exceptions or bizarre case. It doesn't give us a book of laws and of general rules. It gives us specifics and an appreciation that the specifics come about in the most extreme circumstances in a sort of kal vachomer, that if I know when it comes to the poor and the criminal, I have to take care. When it comes to someone who's not poor, who society doesn't shun, obviously I have to take care. That's why the Torah emphasizes these categories. So too when it comes to the dead. If I am told that respect for the dead is being told in the context of a criminal, what about for everyone else? And this shift is important. If I must take care of them when they are dead, and the context of that is when a criminal who has killed or whatever he has done, we must respect him. How much more so for someone who isn't in the same context of crime? So that's the first point. It's interesting as well, when the Torah discusses modesty, it's in the context of a war camp. Now, why a war camp? Because a war camp is where, how it's said, that morality is silent. That's not the case. Morality is not silent. In a place where you would expect moral frameworks to become more fluid, that is where the Torah takes an emphasis on the importance of no, not here. So the first thing is the context. A criminal, that is where the importance and the focus on the respect for the dead comes about in the Torah. But the actual lived-out ritual of burying a body, Rav Hirsch sees it play itself out in three areas of responsibility. And beforehand, it's important to take into account what a human being is from a theological standpoint. A body or a human isn't just a body or a soul. You have this idea that in certain spiritual systems, that you are like your body is like, it is bad and your soul is good and they're forced together and this is an unholy or unnatural situation. That's not the case for the Jewish people. The body is what you are using. It is your tool. It is what allows you to be human, what allows you to grow. The spirit is from above, but the body is from below. We have this idea that the body came from the ground. Now, that is important on a symbolic level because it means you are part of the world. And this is important because it allows you to look at the world and yourself as a holistic whole, not the world that you inhabit is foreign to you. And this is an important psychological perspective that religious people need to take, especially within Judaism. It sort of avoids like a Gnostic disgust for the world. The world is a beautiful place. It's dangerous and it has horrors to it. But you are fundamentally part of this orchestra to God, a creation of God. The world and you are part of the same system. This is where you get the idea of chayk, a chayk per se when it comes to mixing species that we discussed a couple of weeks ago. You're not apart from the world. You are part of the world. You don't look at yourself as a foreigner, or in the modern context, a disease on the world. No, Mother Nature, as it's called, isn't this beautiful, nurturing existence that if only human beings didn't exist. No, from a Jewish standpoint, nature, which holds us, nature, which is part of a creation of God, you are part of that. And that is a beautiful way of looking at the world. You don't look at yourself as other to the world. You are part of the world, but you are also separate because you have a soul from above. And that soul from above is what calls upon you to have responsibility. And when a person dies, goes from where it came, from dust to dust, that phrase comes. And it gives you a story to life that your body goes back from the place where it originates and your soul goes on its journey up. Not obviously physically up, not to the stratosphere, but back to the Almighty, back to the world from where it came. And the responsibility to the body is to return it. But it's deeper than that. The responsibility is also to the earth. The earth then encompasses the body. The womb, let's call it, of the earth, encompasses and surrounds the body that has been put into the earth, and it becomes part of the earth once again. The custom is not to bury a person in a steel cage or in a metal box. No, we bury in wood. The goal is to become part of the world again. So Rav Hirsch sees this as a double responsibility, not only to the person, but also to the world. And on a symbolic experiential level, knowing that that's what we are as people allows us to feel part of the world, but also separate. That separateness comes in the form of responsibility. But also that togetherness allows us to feel part of the general story of reality. The same way the grass serves the Almighty, I serve the Almighty. And that identification with nature has a healthy side if you take into account the separate aspect. If you only take into account one, you have a lopsided system. You are not just a spirit and you are not just a body. Focusing on just the spirit has its dangers, and focusing on just the body also has its dangers. This holistic approach that Judaism is developing brings itself out to fruition with death. But there's a third layer of responsibility, the responsibility to people who are around us. Now this develops a deeper conversation about the nature of purity and impurity on a symbolic level for Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, and the importance of understanding what impurity is and how it's not some sort of mystical, noxious pollution or toxicity. It's a symbolic idea that's unbelievably powerful and important in our living out of our lives. And briefly, I'll just sketch out how he plays this out. When it comes to a dead body, that is the most potent expression of impurity. Why? Because impurity isn't a bad thing. It is a reminder of the fatalistic nature of reality. So that was a big phrase. Let me break it down. The point of a Jew, the point of a human being, is to remember that he has a responsibility to transcend his natural environment. That responsibility is difficult because you look at the world as a mechanistic, causally related structure. That is what the natural world is. But the religious claim is that no, you are more than just your body. You are a spirit as well that calls upon you from outside to have a more noble or higher responsibility. What makes this even harder? Now, the difficulty comes about through nature being nature. What makes it even harder, what draws us away from our moral will and our free moral ability, is seeing a dead body. A dead body is the most potent expression of fatalism you could possibly have. You experience this when you go to a funeral. The dead body that was so alive a minute ago is now part of nature. And the finality, inevitability of death is impurity. Not because it's not true, no, but because it is true. All does come to death. And that danger of allowing that truth to paint and affect the rest of your lived experience, the way perhaps to put it is, fatalism isn't what will happen into the future. Fatalism is something you experience just by being alive. You recognize the inevitability of your eventual mortality. But if you live with that, you might live as if you are just that. That is impurity for Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch is that which reminds you of your natural disposition, and a dead body is the most potent expression of that. Thereby, to have a dead body around is a crime to the people who are still living. So, to sum up our points, we spoke about the first stage, the context in which the commandment comes about. The second point we mentioned were on the three levels of responsibility. The responsibility to the dead person, that the body should go back where it came, like the spirit returns from where it came. A responsibility to the earth, because it is part of our story. We aren't separate entirely from the earth. We are part and parcel as a creation of the Almighty. We're part of this orchestra, and it receives that which it gave. And lastly, the responsibility to those around us, those who survive, to not have a dead body around, a reminder of the fatalistic nature of our experience, and the danger that that could play itself out, cloud the vision of those still alive, and make them ignore or perhaps pay less attention to their ability to transcend their naturalistic frame and transcend their naturalistic causal relationships and act in freedom and with morality that transcends the natural world. And that danger we call tumah, impurity. And on that note, as always, thank you for your time and have a wonderful week.